Hello everyone. Today it's the 31st of May and it's Pentecost Sunday. This is the translation of Pascal Girard's message, which is entitled The Holy Spirit. Our first reading is taken from Acts chapter 1 verses 4 to 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Our second reading is taken from Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 6. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. After the traumatic events for the apostles, or the disciples in general, of the crucifixion of Jesus, his resurrection and his ascent, the day comes when they are all together, maybe in an upper room, and suddenly they hear the sound of a strong wind which fills the whole house where they are sitting. Then tongues like flames of fire appear and land on each of them. Imagine how they could feel at the time. If you were in their place waiting for God to pour out his Spirit on you, to fill you with his Spirit according to his promise, what would your feelings be? What happens in the time of the apostles is obviously supernatural signs of his presence, wind and fire. Notice that Luke says that the disciples hear a noise like that of a strong wind from heaven. There is no mention of a real wind, but rather of a supernatural sign, a symbol of something that is about to happen, a symbol of great power. And then there are tongues of fire. Fire is the frequent symbol of purity in the Old Testament. Moses met God at the burning bush. When Isaiah was called, you remember that God sent him an angel with a coal to purify his lips, after which he was able to transmit the words of God with confidence. There's a third example, the animals which surround the throne of God in the vision of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 13, are creatures of fire. So these things that seem to be tongues of fire maybe symbolize God purifying his disciples. At least they symbolize their preparation to proclaim the word of God. But this work of the Spirit is different from these examples from the Old Testament. Now the Spirit is given to every believer. Each of us receives from God, first his power of purification, then the words he wants us to speak. Look at verse 4. Immediately they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages, each speaking as the Holy Spirit enabled them to do. It doesn't seem to be the same kind of speaking in tongues as we find in other stories, like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because right away we read that there are people of every nation under heaven visiting Jerusalem, and all hear the disciples of Jesus speaking in their own language. The languages spoken at this time are earthly languages, perfectly understandable. You realize the significance of this phenomenon by continuing to read this story. Look at verse 11. Each of us hears them speak in their own language about the wonderful things that God has accomplished. If you have wondered how some of these disciples were able to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, you have a logical answer here. It was the Holy Spirit who allowed them to do so. Today, the first job of a missionary in the field is to learn the local language so that he can communicate with the people of the region. Already on the day of Pentecost, people from all over the world hear the gospel, are able to understand it in their own language. There is no doubt that some of them will go back to their countries and tell others what they have seen, heard, and understood, and therefore the gospel will be spread. In other cases, the apostles and their successors will travel to speak about Jesus. The gospel begins to be propagated to all the nations. So we begin to see how the Holy Spirit changes things and the impact of his arrival on the early Christians. He comes with signs of great power. He comes upon all the disciples of Jesus. It gives them the right to speak with vigour to the people of each tribe and each language. But when we continue reading, we find out more. First, people are confused about what is happening. Others begin to make fun of them, accusing them of having drunk too much in the morning. And Peter gets up and begins to speak. You will read his speech from verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. He is indeed talking about what he knows about the acts of God, what he has seen and heard. He testifies forcefully. And you can imagine that this is even more surprising, because this Galilean fisherman begins to expose the Holy Scriptures as one of their rabbis would. In fact, what Peter does is a particular example of what they all did. But what did we read in verse 11? Each of us hears them speak in their own language about the wonderful things that God has accomplished. And what is Peter doing? He speaks in his exposition of the acts of the power of God. All the disciples will do the same. The power of the Spirit that allowed the prophets of the Old Testament to convey the words of God has now been given to the church. The Spirit therefore grants each of those who are children of God the power to proclaim the word of God. What is more, not only do the disciples receive the power to speak, but suddenly their fear and hesitation disappears. They speak with great audacity. The image of the disciples hiding in an upper room for fear of the Jews is in contrast to Peter speaking and calling people to repent of their rebellion, telling them that they put Jesus, the Messiah, to death. And Peter begs those to whom he is addressing that they hear and finally accept the word of God. Peter talks about the person of Jesus, what he did, and what happened to him. The end of his message contains a call to repent and calls to be baptized as a sign of fidelity to Jesus Christ. It includes the assurance that the death of Jesus means their sins will be forgiven, and it includes the promise that the Holy Spirit will be given to them as well. This is one of the encouraging things about this Pentecost experience. It was not just something that happened at the beginning of the Christian church. It's an ongoing experience. Jesus continues to work through his church so that each generation repents, places its trust in the Lord, and thus receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, today, we should have more confidence when we preach the gospel than the disciples had 2,000 years ago, at least because we can see the effect of preaching on the generations that came before us. We should know what to expect. Look at what happens and how the Holy Spirit works, not only in the hearts of the Apostle Peter and the other disciples, but also in the hearts of his listeners. They are touched deep in their hearts. They ask, "What shall we do?" in verse 37. And the answer is, "The Lord added to their community every day those who were being served." Verse 47. And this is what happens. People's minds have changed. They admit that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, the Lord, the Son of God. They give themselves to Christ by the thousands, and more people are sharing their new faith. The Holy Spirit continues his work. They begin to meet, pray, learn from the apostles, remember the death of Christ and the resurrection by celebrating the Lord's Supper, and pray together. There is an overabundance of generosity, true friendship, and those who have possessions sell them to support those who have nothing. The early church lives as Israel had to live. It therefore forms a community centred around the worship of God and his Son Jesus Christ, a community where the glory of God is revealed to the nations in such a way that these nations want to join the people of God. It is a community that joyfully proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, the offer of forgiveness and peace with God that the death and resurrection of Jesus made possible. And we must also realize that this first community of the church is the same community to which we now belong. We have the same Holy Spirit who lives in us. The same Holy Spirit inspires each of us to realize what God expects from us. So we should also be a community centered around the worship of God and his Son Jesus Christ. We should also be a community that takes care of its members in a practical way, that raises the weak, that shares its resources. We should also be a community in which the glory of God is visible and where people hear God's call to change their lives and come to him. Finally, it may not be such a difficult thing to share the gospel with people. You can stay in touch with the world, pray for your non-Christian friends, and talk about your faith with your friends. Experience has shown that this is not always easy. Do not be fearful, but be encouraged. The Holy Spirit is the one who will touch people's hearts. God will allow us to cross language barriers, cultural barriers, even those that exist in our own circle of friends, perhaps. It is by looking at what the Holy Spirit did for these early Christians that we will see what he will do for us. He shows himself in power. He purifies to allow speech. He allows you to speak so that those who listen understand. He allows the children of God to understand and interpret the Holy Scriptures. He gives them the right to proclaim the word of God. He gives them the right to call people to repent. He touches the hearts of these people and transforms them. Pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to fill us with his power and inspire us as he did with these early Christians. Amen.